let go. I've got the
good afternoon, and welcome to the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, May 14th. Could we have roll call, please?
Member Van Order?
Here.
Member Brown?
Here.
Member King?
Here.
Member DeGasis?
Here.
Member White?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Here.
Chair Branch?
Here. And now we'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Do we have any speaker slips or online hands raised?
I have no speaker slips for this item, and I have no members of the public joining us via Zoom at this time.
Okay, very good. Any amendments to the agenda?
Good afternoon, Chair and board members. There's no amendments to the agenda, but I wanted to start off the meeting by introducing our new board member, Mr. Van Order. You go by Jim, correct? So,
yes.
Jim Van Order, and we're very happy to have you on board. Jim wears both hats, the architect hat and the at-large position. So he's a resident architect.
Very good. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so that takes us to our administrative agenda. Let's see, item A2, selection of Design Review Board Chair and Vice Chair.
All right, so good afternoon, Design Review Board members. This item is going to give you the opportunity to vote for a chair and a vice chair for 1 year term. In a moment, I'm going to ask for nominations, and just for clarification, we do not need a second on this. So is there anyone that wants to make a nomination for chair?
I would like to nominate Mr. Branch as the chair.
A second.
Member Branch, do you accept that nomination?
Sure.
Do I have any other nominations for chair? All right, hearing none, I'm going to do a roll call vote for Member Branch as chair. Starting with Member Van Order.
Aye.
Member Brown?
Yes.
Member King?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member White?
Yes.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
And Member Branch?
Sure.
Which is now Chair Branch. Congratulations.
Thank you. So enthusiastic.
Thank you.
All right. And moving on to selection of vice chair. Again, we don't need any seconds on this. Does anybody have a nomination?
I would like to nominate Mr. Whalen as vice chair.
Member Whalen, do you accept that nomination?
I accept the nomination.
Are there any other nominations for vice chair? All right, hearing none, we're going to do another roll call vote. Member Van Order?
Aye.
Member Brown?
Yes.
Member King?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member White?
Yes.
Member Whalen?
Yes.
Chair Branch?
Yes.
All right.
Congratulations,
it's
sir.
You and me again.
Okay, that will take us to item A3, the approval of the minutes for April 9th. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes for April 9th, 2024.
Very good. Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Can we get a roll call on the minutes?
Member Brown?
Yes.
Member King?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member White?
Aye.
Vice Chair Whalen?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. Okay, moving along, this will take us to our conceptual preliminary final calendar. And our first item up is item B1.
Item B1, 1001 via Bolzano, APN 069-391-003, Corliss Edition and California Environmental Quality Act Notice of Exemption, case numbers 24-0007-LUP and 24-0016-DRB.
And declarations, has everybody visited the site? Jim?
No visitation, no ex parte.
Okay, Dennis?
No visitation, no ex parte.
Martha?
Site visit and no ex parte.
Jim?
Virtual and no ex parte.
Cecilia?
Virtual site visit and no ex parte.
Elizabeth?
Virtual, no ex parte.
And I had a virtual site visit and no ex parte. And with that, Travis, our planner, the floor is yours, sir.
Good afternoon, Chair Brench and members of the board. The product before you is a residential addition to 1001 Via Bolzano. They're adding approximately two additions, totaling 979 gross and 910 net square feet, and approximately 100 square feet of two covered patios for a total of 308 square feet. And the total for the house, the end result will be 2,101 square feet home with a 492 square foot garage and 308 square feet of attached patios. No grading is proposed and no trees are proposed for removal. The project meets the recommended floor area ratio for the parcel, but since there's a stipulation in the ordinance that additions larger than 750 square feet need to go before the design review board. That concludes staff's presentation. Staff and the applicant are available for any questions. Thank you.
Is the applicant here? Come on up. Come on down. Yep. Okay, great. State your names for the record and try to talk us into stuff.
So I'm the architect, Craig Burdick with Studio 1030 Architects.
And I'm Rich Ridgway, and I'm dad of Jenna and
Alex. Oh, your mic's not on, sorry.
My name's Rich Ridgway, and my daughter and her husband are hoping to do this addition, and I'm going to help them build it.
Great. Great. All right. Go ahead and walk us through.
Okay. So like Travis said, there's basically two additions. One is to the north is a kitchen. I'll show you the plans. I'll just do the site plan quickly. A kitchen addition, and then there's some like a office and a bathroom and laundry room. And then on the south side is a master suite addition. And then we're remodeling a bedroom and a couple of bathrooms and doing like a cathedral ceiling for the living space. These are some photographs of the existing house. Maybe I'll come back. I can show you some of the materials for this. But so this is the kitchen addition here with a study in the bathroom laundry room I spoke about. And then here's the master bedroom. This is a covered patio that extends the existing roof line. And then this is a covered patio area that they have one there already, but it's more in this area where the living room was before. And then we're doing pocket sliding doors that open up to the outside. And this is going to be a cathedral ceiling that I can show you. Well, it's in the rendering. That's just some existing. So right now, the house is primarily stucco, and we're proposing to do hardy board siding with board and bat to break up the massing a little bit. This is the bedroom addition. right here with the covered patio coming out. This is the addition of the kitchen here, and it orients towards the view there. There's a corner window that faces towards the view. This is the back side. This is the side where the it's north side, and that's the kitchen addition. This is the existing garage, and then these are the laundry rooms. Let's see, this is the south facade where you could, the only addition you can see is the master bedroom. We're kind of matching the hip type
Dutch gable from the garage.
Sort of matches the garage, and on this side we're just doing the cathedral ceilings since we're having open ceiling in the kitchen and also in the bedroom. I think this is the looking the south where you can see the garage in distance, and this is just the bathroom and bedroom windows.
Okay.
So these are just the sections that show this is that where we're doing the cathedral ceiling for the living room area. Still using the existing roof, but then just putting a new structure in and having the center line for the ridge beam over the living area. Mm-hmm. And then open for the bedroom, and then that's the study over there, and that's the this longitudinal through the bedroom. And these are just some details of the covered patios where we're going to try not to use hardware and mostly use hidden connections.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it kind of clean. That's, I don't know if there's a, I guess maybe. So the detailing is pretty simple as far as the siding with the windows. And, you know, we have the board and bat siding at each. I think we're replacing most of them. Right? Yeah. Then the landscape plan, at this time, we're just landscaping the proposed rain gardens that we're going to need for the stormwater management program. It's just grasses and very simple carrots. And I think some, we had a little bit of blue mice plant. Yeah.
Stuff that Martha puts in all the time.
Yeah. So that's
okay.
That's pretty much it.
Very good. Very good. Let's begin with questions for the applicant. Jim?
No questions, no comments.
Dennis, do you have any questions?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Branch. Could you flip to the elevations? My questions are more about materiality. For example, it looks there on the north elevation, the garage section appears to be a different material. And then on the east elevation, I assume that's the wood is a garage door, but there are windows above it. I'm not quite understanding what's going on. Let me continue.
Okay, sorry.
And then you can talk about all the materials. It appears that there the hardy board is used vertically on the existing house, and then on the east elevation, it's both horizontally and then vertically on the new addition. So could you briefly go around the house talking about the materiality?
Okay. Well, mainly the reason there's two different materials, we did board and bat, where those are the two additions that came out from the facade, and then use the horizontal just to, as a contrast, but also goes with it. And then this is where the kitchen remodel wraps around to the addition of the where the study and the bathroom and laundry room are. This is plaster that we're just going to keep as the garage. And the garage door, and again, this is kind of the materials we sort of pit that, like you said, the existing middle section we did horizontal siding, and then the additions we did board and bat, and this one left was stucco. The garage door, We haven't really specified that. You know, that's what it sort of looks like now. The wood's not quite correct, but it does have the clear story windows in it. We'd probably match that, but actually we haven't discussed what.
Yeah, it's actually got a reasonably new garage door, so.
Yeah.
Could you speak into the microphone?
It has a reasonably new garage door, and so they're on a budget, and we may keep the existing garage door.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. That answers my questions.
Very good. Martha, do you have any questions?
I understand from the staff report you're not removing any trees. There seems to be...
Technically, there is a pear tree, ornamental pear, that's in the front location.
It's right at the corner,
At the corner. And it's not in good health. I have a picture of it. But we do have that one pear tree.
Are the two olive trees that are on the north side, I guess, of the property line, are those being retained?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if we look at the front of the house, is that it there? There's a better shot anywhere.
Well, it's kind of, this is the, these are the two of the front.
Yeah, those are the... Yes, yeah, so that ornamental pear tree sits right here, and it is close, and it's going to be gone.
Thanks.
Okay. Jim, do you have any questions?
None at this time.
Okay. Cecilia?
No questions.
Elizabeth?
No questions.
I have no questions. Are there any public comments or either in-house or online?
I have no speaker slips for this item. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom, please raise your hand and I'll call on you momentarily. I have no hands raised.
Okay. Let's go to comments. I'll start at the other end. Elizabeth?
No comments.
No comments. Okay. Cecilia?
Nice, the upgrades to the house. I'm sure the owners and residents will enjoy all the new additions. So it looks good to me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jim?
I was looking at the exterior elevation sheet A2.0, and I saw two keynote legends of finishes. And the question is regarding the roof material. The colored one will work. The one that's on. Yeah, either one will work. They're both, one's just colored, one's line drawings. For the finish on the roof, there's one legend here that's calling out, I believe it's composite shingle roofing, and then the keynote legend up above calls out standing seam. And I'm just asking because the applicant's requesting conceptual, preliminary, and final.
Yeah, so this is correct. That's kind of leftover note from, should be taken out. The standing, we're not doing standing seam.
It's going to be comp shingle.
Yeah, comp shingle, yeah.
Okay.
That's what is there now.
Okay. All right, cool. Anything else, Jim?
No other comments.
Martha?
My comment is regarding the landscaping, and I think that even compared to the neighboring properties and the street in general, it has a dearth of landscaping. It's got the one tree that will now, we learn, be removed. So I would make a recommendation or a suggestion that another canopy tree be added to the front yard and somehow those rain gardens be integrated into the landscaping. Of course, I would hope, but I don't think we have the ability to require that the front yard be landscaped because it really isn't right now, but I assume knowing that it probably will be. But I think a requirement for a street tree or a front yard landscaping tree, minimum 15-gallon size, would be my recommendation.
And we're fine with that. A recommended species? Any suggestions? We're open.
I don't know if I can really do that for you, but I think a broad-spreading canopy tree that's reasonably drought-tolerant would be would be good, either deciduous or evergreen. You know, to your taste, you've got the olive trees on the other side. You might replicate that successfully.
Okay.
Okay, Dennis?
Yes, I think it's acceptable for conceptual size, bulk, mass scale, and seems to match the neighborhood. I do have some issues, as Mr. Gaisa says, about the landscape plan, materials, the garage door, et cetera.
Jim?
Yeah, I have no questions. I have no issues. I think it's a welcome addition.
Okay. I'm fine with it conceptually. It feels like the material thing jumped out at me. The stucco seems out of place. You're doing all this siding, and then there's just this one splash of stucco, but nowhere else. It just feels a little foreign to me, a little bit. And I wanted to see. All right. So your detail shows trim. It doesn't look like there's trim on the elevations.
Yeah.
And I was just curious if the trim would be an accent color or white or...
It's planned to be white, and really, we're planning on the trim to be a white,
yeah,
and the windows to be dark. We're actually just kind of mimicking what we'd done just down the street with all our ranch-style homes at the Cambridge property. So same kind of ranch feel, low and horizontal siding and board and bat. If you would like us to remove the plaster off the garage, we're willing to do that.
That's not a sword I need to fall on. It just feels like there's a little too much materials, and maybe it's when because of the garage door or something. It just feels slightly too busy to me, and I don't. You know, I'm not going to draw a line in the sand on that. I'm merely suggesting that, but I think it would be, you know, it'd be nice to actually see this with the white trim and all this stuff. I think what you're proposing sounds great, sounds logical, and I could totally support that. And you know, conceptually and everything else, I'm in complete support of it. I think it's a nice remodel. So you mentioned that you'd be willing to put in a tree,
yes,
potentially, and I don't know. It seems like we're pretty much on board for it, but it'd be kind of nice to see the tweaks and whatever you do to the landscaping, I guess.
If we committed today to replace the stucco, which would probably be with board and bat, to be consistent with around the house, right? Projections would be board and bat. And then we put a gold medallion in the front yard of 24-inch box. Martha's going, give me a better suggestion.
Well, Chair Branch,
yes.
I'm prepared to make a motion that the board move for conceptual approval today, but the item be continued either to a date or indefinitely based upon the staff recommendation, and that you return with a landscape plan, a resolution of the garage door, perhaps some material samples, and to study the retaining of the stucco at the garage.
Question.
Well, that's a motion.
No, I understand that. A question about your motion. Seems like that could be preliminary.
We'd like to continue and get into working drawings and move forward.
With the notion that we'd do those items.
I'm just curious. If we could do preliminary and they come back for final. That allows them to, doesn't that?
That's where we'll end up.
Hit the appeal period, and then they can come back for final with the other stuff.
So if we get a second, I can amend the motion.
Okay.
I would second that with the amendment.
I approve of the amendment for conceptual and preliminary approval today to return for final.
It would be great if we could have a date certain and if the applicant's ready in 2 weeks to address.
We're just hoping to be able to proceed into working drawings, get into plan check. What's the quickest way we could do that?
You have to come back for final.
Well, but preliminary kind of locks in that aspect of it, so you can proceed with working drawings and just come back in 2 weeks just for this stuff. And
technically, no. Technically, we have to complete the DRB process before building submittal.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
No, I understand.
So 2 weeks?
We'll come back in 2 weeks, and yeah, I'd feel comfortable proceeding with everything else that we're doing.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah.
That would be May 28th, if we can have the motion to be continued to May 28th.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. That good? May 28th for the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. Will we roll call?
Member Van Order?
Not really sure how I'm supposed to, what's the right response?
Yes or aye?
Yes.
Yes. Member Brown?
Yes.
Member King?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member White?
Aye.
Vice Chair Whalen?
Yes.
Chair Branch?
Yes. All right, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you. Thanks.
Perfect, thank you.
Jim, it's always yes. Everything is yes. Say yes.
Yeah, I like to hear that. Thank you.
I hope that works for you.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And we kind of just left the stucco because there's a twist.
That and the landscape plan, we feel more comfortable with the landscape. Yeah.
As long as we can continue.
Thanks. Okay, that takes us to our conceptual review, item C1.
Item C1, unaddressed parcel on Via Harrow, APN 079-210-053, new 40-megawatt battery energy storage facility, case numbers 24-0001-GPA and 24-0002, DRB.
Declarations, has everybody visited the site? Elizabeth?
No site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Cecilia?
Well, I tried to do a virtual site visit because it's vacant lot. There's not much to see, but and no ex parte.
Okay, very good. Jim?
Virtual, no ex parte.
Martha?
Virtual site visit and no ex parte.
Dennis?
No site visit, no ex parte.
Jim?
No site visit, no ex parte.
And I viewed what I could online, virtually, and no ex parte. Travis, again, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Chair Branch and members of the board. This is a request for a conceptual review of a 39.6-megawatt battery energy storage facility. The application is in the beginning stages, and DRB's purview is related to the site design and appearance of the facility. They're really here for conceptual comments. The proposal is for 9 sets of Tesla Megapack 2XLs standing 9 feet 2 inches tall, and the area will be surrounded with 8 feet tall ornamental no-climb fencing with landscape screening on the south and eastern property lines. This is part of a bigger application for a general plan amendment, rezone, conditional use permit and development plan that just came in, so we're working on that right now. They're eventually going to change the general plan and zoning to allow for the major utility usage for this battery storage facility, but right now it's just for DRB conceptual comments.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is the applicant here?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Come on up.
I just have a question of staff, if I may, Mr. Chair, while they're setting up. The last battery storage facility we saw over there off of Cortona, do you remember any of that? I don't know if either one of you know. Okay, I just was wondering how in size comparison and any other things. Okay, it's neither here nor there.
Okay, I had the you. Same.
Pardon?
I wondered the same thing myself.
Yeah. I mean, those were Tesla batteries, I think.
Right.
Weren't they? Yeah.
Oh, the existing one?
The existing one on Stork?
Yeah, those were the same, larger facility, but same battery storage, Tesla Megapack XLs.
Okay.
Yeah, so similar basically, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, please state your names for the record.
Yes.
And proceed.
Yes, I'm Steve Williams with ERM.
And Nelson Gould with ERM.
Welcome.
And
Nelson, you don't have your mic on. Oh. And Nelson Gould with ERM.
Okay. So what we have here, okay, so this is the existing Elwood Generating Station. Mm-hmm. The rail, and then the 101 is over here. Mm-hmm. So what we show is this empty lot right here that is set, we have, can you see it again?
I just want to make sure I got it centered on screen. Okay.
Okay, so we have 36 battery.
I want to make sure you're talking into the mic, too.
You can raise the microphone as well.
Okay. Oh, look at that. It's modern. All right. So, yeah, we have the Tesla battery storage pack shown here. It is in this vacant lot right now. There will be, and basically the batteries will be connected through an underground line, goes through here into the existing substation switch yard in the Elwood Generating Station. So the current CTs go into this substation here, over to the SCE switch yard that then goes out over here. So this basically, this line will go underground and connect in here, so there will be no new substation or infrastructure. We are in the process right now of conducting all the studies, noise study, hazard assessment, surveys to do a final grading assessment. But, you know, essentially this is the layout. We're going to have one access point off the cul-de-sac, a second access point through this parking lot through the peaker plant. So this will, there's a gate here. This will be a private access and a secondary access here. Right now there is a, and here's the property line. You can see there's a small, low-functioning wetland that exists right off the site, encroaches slightly onto the site. So we have that as an ESHA. We're not touching that. Off-site or outside of it, we have this a conceptual bioswell that will be installed here. And then here's where our vegetation screening will be. So this is a row of trees, another row of trees to shield the property from view. And we can, to emphasize that, let me show you a couple of these. Okay, so these are three renderings. If you want to take a look. This on the bottom. Okay. So this is the existing site. Can you guys see it? Oh, let's go. There we go. The existing site. This is the proposed site with the gate open. And this is the proposed site with the gate closed. So as you can see, with the there's significant vegetation around that area already, but with the additional matured vegetation, this site will be unseen from the street view.
And this is a view from Via Harrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I just ask a question
about
this? So the trees or the vegetation around is going to be.
Can we look at the plans?
Yep. So this is the row of vegetation on this side, and another row of vegetation
and
here.
And it is, what is it? What is the material?
That's ceanothus, and this is Pacific wax myrtle.
And what is the ceanothus?
I can't remember what they said. Let's see. Sierra blue. It's a pretty tolerant one.
And what's the height of that? Does it get real?
They're saying 8 feet, but. It can grow high or bushier. Sorry to do your presentation.
I am not the botanist, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. There was a comment and a question on this. So you should see this is the vegetation. There are several trees that will need to be removed. They're in the roadways. This one actually is a bush, but there's these eucalyptus trees over here. So they would be removed. The question was, what is the plan for that? So I guess we have a question back to you. Would you like to see these replaced, or does the vegetation that we're installing suffice for replacement of those trees?
We'll get to that.
Okay. So that'll be a question for you. Okay, we have, let's go back to this design here. What do I want to show here? So what you can see, we have over a 50-foot setback at all directions. So what you can see here are the batteries to the fence line. It's generally 46 feet, 48 feet, and then another 15 feet to the property line. So over a 50-foot setback in all directions. There's another site plan that shows it. Maybe shows it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So one question we do want to ask you and bring up is that we have this as our ESHA right here. If you look at a 50-foot buffer, the bioswell would be in that 50-foot buffer. We want to see if that's acceptable to you. If not, we'll have to move it. But we have our vegetation screening and this bioswell conceptually laid out in that area.
And we plan for all vegetation in the bioswell to be native. It's not planned yet.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Anything else?
That is it for now.
Okay. Let's start with questions. Jim, do you have any questions for the applicant? Dennis?
Thank you, Chair Branch. I'd like to know what the adjacent parcel uses are. On sheet 1E110, you show us the adjacent power plant. What are the other adjacent parcels? On the north, there's the railroad. Could you talk about the east and south parcel uses and development?
Yeah. So this on the east side over here is the open parking lot. I believe it was owned by Exxon. It's now owned by an offshore company for the offshore rigs, I believe, for parking and staging. Across the cul-de-sac over here is that senior center. And then this is a vacant parking lot. This is, I think you guys were asking, there was a previous project that was originally discussed on the south side of this parking lot, in this open parking lot. But that's just open land parking lot right now. And then on this side, there's residential community on the other side of the peaker plant.
Thank you. That's helpful. I'd also be interested in knowing what the gizmos, for lack of a better term, what do they look like? There's nothing on the plans that describes the batteries themselves.
Yeah, so these are the Tesla Megapacks XL2s. These were submitted in the package. It provides the detail description of them. And again, the battery storage project that was just completed uses these battery packs, so you can get an exact.
And could you briefly just tell us how tall they are, what materials, what do they look like?
Mm-hmm.
You had some sections on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure did.
The cross sections.
There you go. Oops. Yeah, the sections are on the bottom. Can you read off the yeah. height of them?
I thought you guys said they were 9 feet or
two.
9 feet two.
Yeah. In the presentation,
approximately 9 feet.
With a concrete pad of about a foot.
And the transformer height?
The transformer height is about 6 feet. That's going to be located over here, I believe.
Somehow I read that different as being higher than the battery packs.
That's what the transformer is that I've seen. And that has been conceptual. It hasn't been designed yet for the final design on the transformer. So that will be spec'd as we move forward. And it's a lower elevation, right?
This is the transformer.
Okay, so, and it drops down 2 feet, so it's about 9 feet, it looks like. But that transformer has not been spec'd at this point.
Okay.
Some questions.
Are you done with your questions? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's enough.
Martha, questions?
So. Maybe Mr. Lee can answer the former mobile home park that's adjacent to this parcel. Is there, does anyone know what is planned in that location? Is that the right?
Is that to the east or is that to the south?
Toward Hollister Avenue.
To the south.
Oh, so that vacant parking lot parcel, there's an application in, which is mine, for mini storage.
Oh, okay, mini storage. Okay, so I do have a few questions. So the facility that we approved some months ago, when their drawings came in, they didn't indicate any masts, if that's the right term, for the electrical transmission, and those really stick up above the battery packs. But you seem to be saying that that's not, they're not going to have any of those sorts of higher than the battery pack facilities on this site. Is that correct?
That's correct. The difference on that is they built a substation for those battery packs. This one is going to go into the existing facility.
Okay.
And it's the facility
it's
right now.
Underground.
The lines coming underground, but the switch yard, that's above ground, but it's enclosed in the existing substation facility. So there's the walls and the roof at about 13 to 15 feet already existing.
Okay.
So it'll be inside there with it's an open roof with walls on all sides.
Okay. And all right, so storage. So the willow, you mentioned there's a willow, a royal willow thicket, but it's only indicated by a dashed line on your site plan here.
Yeah, that's correct.
And the greatest extent of that is encroaching, as you indicate on your plans, and then this circle indicates what?
This tree right here, vegetation.
Okay, but none of these trees are identified on your site plan as to species or anything, a critical root zone or anything like that, so we're just guessing from the aerial that it's vegetation, generic vegetation. So
most of it's eucalyptus, but we can identify
The
specific species of each plant.
Did you or are you planning to do any site sections or visualizations from the adjacent residential properties? I see that you have the photographs and then the little glimpse of the battery profile there, but have you done any visualizations or simulations from what the residents on the adjacent parcels will see of the pack? Well, like there, some of them I think are two-story and that sort of thing.
I'm
just wondering if they're viewing into your site.
Yeah, so these are street view. We didn't do a second story or elevated view, but only from street view is what these represent, which they're really not visible.
Right, from the street, which, isn't too much of a problem. Likewise, on 101, I would think that because of the 101 vegetation, it's not really going to be visible unless they did that, like some radical thinning as they've been doing along 101. So it seems like some sections view shed analysis from the adjacent residential parcels would be really interesting for us to see or someone to see.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your thinking behind the species choice on your screening?
So our landscaper looked at the native vegetation or what would fit in this area, and that's what is selected and proposed.
Okay, but it was narrowed down to two species. What was the thinking behind that?
I believe our landscaper is actually on the line. He may be able to provide some more context.
They're zoomed in then?
What's the name?
Hi.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Luke Hegeman. I'm with ERM.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you.
My question was, what was your thinking behind choosing the hybrid ceanothus and the Pacific wax myrtle for screening?
Yeah, I wanted to try and find something. So for example, on the southern area with the Pacific wax myrtle, it needed something that could possibly have a little bit of wet feet with the area being wet over there. And that seemed it would still fit within the WCOL's calculations, but also it would grow tall enough to block the views into the site and still be native. And then with the lilac to the east, that again would mitigate views to the area, to the property to the east, and then also provide both visual interest and, habitat, for butterflies.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's my questions.
Jim, any questions?
A couple of questions. Can you talk a little bit about the batteries themselves? I mean, is there a potential for leakage? And if so, is there a secondary containment?
So the battery containers have secondary containment.
Okay.
But typically leakage is not a concern on these.
All right.
Fires, obviously, people will bring that up as a concern. Right. They have a fire mitigation system in it. Tesla Megapack XLs are some of the better ones out there, especially the newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
But the batteries are within a structure that has a containment around them.
Okay.
So they have the fans and then fire suppression built into each of the units.
Okay. That actually answered both questions. Thank you.
Okay, great. Cecilia, questions?
Yes, I have a couple. So what is the material on the fence? Well, it's green, but does that mean it's, what does it mean?
On the gate?
On the gate, sorry.
It's a vine currently.
And how, just exactly, how do you grow that vine? How is that vine grown on a fence?
Luke, are you?
I can ask. Yeah, it's grown from the outside. You plant it on the outside, and it grows across.
I know.
Kind of like an espalier.
So it's planted on either end of the fence and is just... Mm. Grown across the fence.
They have something called suckers and they self-attach.
I'm familiar with that, but I just, okay. So what is the plant again, the species?
Coral vine. Coral vine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, okay. Okay, gross. Is there any lighting plant on the site?
Yes.
What kind of lighting?
You want to answer that?
It's not currently mapped yet, the lighting plan.
Okay, so we will see that at some point in time.
You will see that. That'll be part of the civil design.
And can you just give me a quick overview of what that's kind of going to look like, what was proposed?
Not in too much detail, but would follow all the regulations of Toledo.
Is the site lighted at night?
Yes.
Okay.
Per city ordinance.
Okay, right. So you're going to follow the ordinance. Okay,
we're going to follow
the... That's a huge leap. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay. There noise coming from these things? I know they're batteries, right?
Yeah.
So there's no noise, but there might be fans or
the
something.
The fans have some noise, and the noise study is providing the summary of the noise study. So, again, if you do have a chance to get over to the other one, you'll hear the humming from the fans on them.
And... any idea what the decibel level is? Is that?
I don't want to misspeak, but I want to get the noise studied.
Okay.
I was just out there. It's low.
So will we see that?
Yes. You will have a noise study.
That's
the hazard
a land
assessment.
Use, not a design thing, but it's kind of good.
And that'll all be submitted in the CUP when we get that next month.
Okay. Okay. I think those are the only questions I have. I'll have some comments. Thank you.
Okay. Elizabeth, do you have any questions?
No.
I have one question, and that is, why not screen the north side?
So the north side, elevation, the section.
Oh, yeah.
So the north side, there's a berm. There's an existing berm here.
Right. It goes up to the tracks.
Yeah. It goes up and then the tracks drop way down.
Right.
So the berm is. So that's. What did we just do with it?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. I took it. Yeah, so right now we don't have it because there is an existing berm over on this side. So this goes up, what, 5-6 feet? And then it just didn't seem that there was a need because there was really nothing over there besides.
Oh, your road goes right to the property line?
The road goes to the fence, and then there's the property line outside of that. But that this doesn't, does it?
This is the southern end here, and it's just the entrance.
Right, because you got your road here. That feels like a fair amount of.
15 feet.
This cross section is here.
Oh, sorry.
So it just
sorry.
Goes across the driveway.
So
these are both east-west.
Okay, so I don't know. It just seems like, depending on how steep that is, it's still an opportunity to do some screening. So I was just curious why.
We didn't because there is there's a berm that slopes up. So it's visually from that side, we don't think anything could be seen looking from north to south.
Okay. You know,
that would see it.
Okay.
But that we'll take that as a comment if that's something that's needed.
Okay. That was my only question, so. Go ahead. Martha, go ahead.
What is the driveway roadway material proposed?
The driveway roadway? Do you know what that is right now?
Just asphalt.
Cecilia, what was your question?
Mike, into the mic, please. Sorry. My question has to do with a view from 101. I didn't drive that, didn't think about driving that, but I'm just wondering. 101 in relationship to this lot, is it above it, below it? Can you give me any description?
I don't have the exact elevations, but I've looked at a lot. The 101 is relatively similar elevation to this lot, yes. But it's lower than the berm that's on the north side.
And
so if you were looking from the 101 south, there would be vegetation, and it would drop down to the rail, back up, to a berm, and then back down to this property.
So what you're saying is there's vegetation between the rail and the 101?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a perfect visual screen, but there is vegetation over there.
That might be a nice place to have a visualization later on.
I think that, because that's probably maybe a view corridor, I'm not sure. I probably should go drive it next time. But I think we'd like to see what that is.
Certainly.
And perhaps you consider, I'd just like to see all the elevations, to see its relationship.
No, we appreciate the comment. That's something that we'll take a harder look at.
Right, thank you.
Do you have another question?
Yes, Chair Branch. This one's really for staff. Do you see any issues with the conditional use permit as far as this application?
Well, for it's an allowable use under a conditional use permit. You know, it has to go through the process. Besides your board here, we are going to take this to the Planning Commission, and ultimately the City Council will be the decision maker because there's a general plan and zone change, general plan amendment.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, before we get into comments, do we have any speaker slips or anybody online that wishes to make a comment?
I do have two speaker slips, and if there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom, please raise your hand, and I'll call on you momentarily.
Okay.
Our first speaker is Robert Miller, followed by Craig Lewis. If you want to come up to the podium, you'll have 3 minutes.
So, again, my name is Robert Miller. I live at 30 Sanderling Lane, about 150 feet from this project. I've lived there for about 10 years, so I'm quite familiar with all the properties. The CHP at one time wanted to build a facility across the street from us, and I was quite involved in leading an effort to convince them not to do that.
Oh, I remember.
Since that time, there has been a battery project in that same site, and that was our community was also very much opposed to that, and I don't know what the status of that is. I think it didn't happen. I think, in fact, those same people went and built the project down in a more appropriate place. When this came before the City Council to initiate a general plan amendment, members of our community opposed it for safety reasons, for incompatibility with the neighborhood, and I now have additional concerns after listening today about this particular project. Obviously, the council despite our objections, went ahead and initiated the general plan amendment. When I first saw this come up on the agenda, I looked at the documents online, and it looked like it might not be so bad because it looked like there's an attempt to screen it out. But we will have continuing questions about the lighting, which I hadn't thought about until it was brought up today, the lighting, the sound. We already deal with the peaker plant sound. In the views that you will have, I think you really need to go out and take a closer examination of what it looks like from our community. I actually live right across the street in Las Armas. I'm quite certain I can see this site from our balcony, the second story balcony, and there are other residents that have even a more direct view. So I didn't see any screening on the west side, and that's where I'm particularly concerned about. And I assume there's a gate that will go from this battery project to the peaker plant, and I'm hoping that will be high enough to obscure the battery project from the second story of the residences that are along Las Armas. We're hoping that the peaker plant will be closed eventually. We've been told that was going to happen for 5 years now, and it hasn't happened. And I'm also kind of curious whether the peaker plant will be used in some fashion to charge the batteries. Because Goleta is trying to go to 100% source of renewable energy as their source. Do I have a minute left, or am I done? In the time?
Yep, that's your time.
Okay. So I guess I'm done.
Thank you.
Our next public speaker is Craig Lewis. If there's any members of the public joining us via Zoom that wish to speak on this item, please raise your hand and I will call you next.
Committee members, Chair, my name is Craig Lewis, and I am the founder and executive director of the Clean Coalition, which is a very technical nonprofit with a mission to accelerate the transition to renewable energy and a modern grid. We work very closely with all the municipalities around here, and we're working hard to get to that 100% renewable energy that Mr. Miller just referenced. This battery project is in the perfect location from an electrical standpoint. So the Clean Coalition, we are experts on grid issues, and we have supported multiple battery projects around the state, around the country, and including the big project down in Carpinteria, which was the first, the Vallecito project, that was the first battery project in Santa Barbara County. And then that got followed by the Grid Store Energy Project, which is off of Stork and has been referenced here today. The project, the Green Bark project, the one we're here talking about today, is in the absolute perfect location. The substation that was referenced earlier by the applicants, that substation is not only already existing, but it is wired to go directly to the Goleta substation, which is the only point of interconnection where the transmission system of California's transmission system comes in. And from the Goleta substation, which is up at the top of Stork Road, essentially up above the golf course, that is the only place from which you can get energy services to the entire Goleta load pocket, from Point Conception to Lake Casitas. So this location is absolutely perfect. I was here a handful of years ago supporting the Enel proposal for the battery project that was just to the south of the Elwood Peaker plant. I know that was opposed by the community members. I lived in the Bluffs at the time, so I was a community member, a neighbor. But I thought that project was also amazing. It would have interconnected in the exact same place. I'm very pleased that the project that is being proposed now, the Green Bark project, is much further away from the housing community that Mr. Miller lives in. It's over 400 feet from that community. The closest housing is over 235 feet away. That's the Mariposa housing community. And that is four times further away than the Grid Store energy project off of Stork is from that closest housing community, which is only 60 feet. So we're talking about, it's eight times further away from Mr. Miller's house. and even the closest house in that community. I'm not sure where Mr. Miller's house is. Anyway, I'm at Clean Coalition. We are experts in this area. We support this project. There's dozens of other entities that support this project, and I'm happy to answer any questions that I might be able to answer for you.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. We're not here to make motions. This is just conceptual, so we can give comments. So, Jim, any comments?
No, I have no comments.
Dennis?
Well, first of all, I want to thank the two members of the public for coming and giving us their comments, however contradictory they are. I really appreciate when the public takes the time to come and appear before the committees. It makes it informs us all that much better. I have some reservations about site compatibility to that end. When you return, please come with a site plan that better illustrates the adjacencies, what's going on for, say, the next couple hundred yards around it, so that we have a better understanding. Also, please identify the existing trees and shrubs, if I'm not stealing Mr. Gase's thunder on that, those that are being removed, it would be helpful to know perhaps some more site visualizations. I'm not sure it would be really fair to ask for one from the second story, but that's for you to consider whether you're going to do it as a response to the public comment. The tree breaks seem awfully regimented. I would encourage you to go with a more naturalistic that aren't lined up in marine fashion, perhaps in that standard windrow fashion, perhaps varying the types of trees, though that you get your same effect, but with just a more naturalistic look. I'm dubious about the planting on the gate fence, the espalier. It seems like that could really fail quick, and you'd have to prove to me that you've seen that and it's been done successfully for a number of times. And I would, as Chair Branch was discussing with you, a section that included the berm, the railway, even to 101 would be helpful. It occurs to me that the site will be visible from Amtrak trains southbound when they're up on their carriage. So, with the views into it. So a site section that illustrates these points would be helpful to the committee, and a lighting plan would be helpful. Thanks, Chair Branch.
Okay, great. Martha, comments?
I do have comments that somewhat echo Mr. Whalen's comments. So yes, the planting row should include trees and not just a consistent edge of two materials that are different from one another. I think depending on ceanothus, for instance, a whole line of it is not going to fare well over time, and your landscape architect can include some plants that get over 12 feet tall and hopefully, you know, up into the 20-foot area. I don't think you're going to have a shading issue per se, so I don't see that that's a problem, but vary the height, the leaf shape, the foliage, and all that, so that you get a very native looking mix along both of those edges. And I understand that there might be a damp condition over on that that south edge, but I think there's plenty of materials that are tolerant, that are native, that could fulfill that. But again, I think including trees, although this one species of the Pacific wax myrtle can get pretty tall, I think he needs to include some bigger material. The vine on a fence that would move back and or a gate that would move back and forth isn't going to work. So I think you need to present some sort of solid fencing at those locations so that, and to be tall enough to really block the view of those units. So I don't know if that's a 10-foot tall thing or or what, but your simulation should solve that problem. I think you need to, all the bioswale material adjacent to the ESHA setback, I think is fine, but I think you have an opportunity there too to add more willow or other tree species in this area that would supplement that. I think you need to put tree and shrubbery screening along the rail, Southern Pacific Railway and 101 segment there. I don't think there's any reason not to do that. It's just going to turn into a dusty, dry mess if you don't. And you need to screen the side to the Montmartre, the west. Yeah. And ditto the fencing there, even though it's probably not that visible from the adjacent property due to the substation there. I think you need a tree disposition plan so that you can show what's being removed, the caliper, the canopy size, and all that on all your tree material. And I think that's all I had. Yeah, I think that's everything. But I need a complete landscape plan and you know, designate what's going to be in your other areas. But again, more trees, more variety, and really thicken it up. Otherwise, it's just going to get complaints from the neighbors. I know the one over on Stork, they put in a number of trees, not just shrubbery. So I think that's going to help sell the project. Thanks.
Okay, Jim, comments?
Along the lines of some of the other board members, planting along the railroad, a site section to study that 90 degrees to those that are currently being cut, a better understanding of the lighting, gate planting, and then there was a comment about a no-climb fence. I don't really know what that means. So, you know, something that gives a little more detail.
It's a black metal fence with vertical slats. It's similar to what's at the Cortona location.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. That's it.
Cecilia, comments?
Thank you. Well, Martha got a lot of my comments.
She does that.
I know, but that's good. I would agree the thing on the fence is need to think of something else. And I would like to make a recommendation. You know, the ceanothus is a fine plant, but I think it's not appropriate here. I'd like to see you use something from like a lemonade berry or something, which grows big and wild and grows rather quickly. Some of the roof species are good. I grow them in my yard, so I know about those. I'm a little concerned about we haven't seen a lighting plan, but just normally when we do see that, what you're going to see, because there's the all these Tesla batteries are going to be set on asphalt, right? Concrete. Oh, and concrete. Okay.
Slabs,
just underneath the batteries. Oh, so then what's underneath? What's?
Gravel.
Oh, gravel. Okay. I was concerned that just thinking ahead, because I tend to be sort of the lighting reviewer, is that even though you're going to have everything fully shielded, downward directed, that if there was going to be a continuous surface, there might be a lot of light refraction, but it looks like there might not be. But anyway, that's something that we'll look at later. But I do agree there needs to be a view corridor analysis from 101, and we get some nice landscaping along that edge. That's it. Thank you very much.
Elizabeth, any comments?
No. Thank you.
I think the only comments I had were spoken of already. So, we look forward to seeing more detail when it comes back. And you have a lot of approvals to get, so good luck with that. and we'll see you upon return. We don't need to make a motion, right?
No motion needed. Next time they come back, it will be for a preliminary recommendation to the Planning Commission, if they're ready at that point.
Okay.
So that's next step that needs to happen before going to the Planning Commission.
Okay. Great.
A final suggestion. You might bring some photographs of the other site so that we know what they look like, the concrete, the gravel.
Will do. Yeah, thank you for your comments. These were very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much.
No, local.
Oh, you're local.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. That takes us to item D, announcement by members and staff. Does anybody have anything? No? All right. Well, with that, just one last time, I'd like to welcome Jim aboard. Thanks for joining the board.
Thank you.
It's a commitment and an honor all at the same time, so welcome. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Crush my baby.